My dad, Pastor Salem, loved spreading the saving grace of Jesus Christ through his sermons and sharing the Word of God. We are grateful to be with you, worshiping together. Today's message, The Ministry of Prayer, emphasizes Jesus interceding for us. It is our hope you will be uplifted by today's program.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by, and here we are, all around the world, gathered in one place, at the feet of Jesus, around the throne of God as we worship Him together. Isn't that wonderful? And the nice thing is, someday we're going to see each other. I can't see you, and you can see me if you're on television. All of our shortwave radio people can't see me, and some people like it that way. They say they're better when they can't see me. But we'll all see each other, and won't we have a wonderful time? Well, today we're going to be preaching about the ministry of prayer. And you say, well, that's one thing I don't know much about. I don't know much about prayer. You can be a minister of prayer, and you just stay with us, and I'll tell you about it. But first, I want to read some of the letters. And by the way, you get your pencil and paper ready, because maybe after you hear some of these letters, you'll say, I ought to write and encourage those folks. Or maybe you have a prayer request or something you'd like to say. And as long as you don't criticize it, if you got something critical, something you don't like, why, just write that out on a little piece of paper and then put it in the dump or something. But, you know, if you're nice things, why? But write, just so you write. And I'll give you that in a minute. But here's the first letter we have is from Watertown, South Dakota. And they write, I thank you for helping to save my husband with the message on TV. The Lord has touched his heart and made him a good and thankful man. My parents watched you in the nursing home. You touch many in the nursing homes across the United States and the world. And yes, we know that. I know that because we hear from people in the retirement homes all the time. And you know, the Christian Worship Hour has three points in mind. The first thing we want to do is glorify God. The second thing, we want to win the people to Christ. And the third thing is what he told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. And that's people who are shut-ins and people in old age. And there's a verse this is just written for people in old age. So the rest of you plug your ears. But let me just read it. It's Isaiah 46, verse 4. And this is what it says. Even to your old age, I am he. This is God telling us this. Even to your old age, I am he. Even to gray hairs, I will carry you. You see, he used to carry the little lambs, didn't he? Carries the old gray heads too. When we get there, and I'm there, and here he is carrying me and helping me. It says, and I will carry you. I have made, I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Isaiah 46, verse 4. God loves the old people, and he helps us. And we're not left out. We're important too, at least to God. Here's Brooklyn, New York. Christian greetings to you for your ministry. Watch you every Saturday on Daystar. I want to personally say that your words have encouraged me when I've been feeling down and overwhelmed. Your ministry is uplifted. Blessed be God's holy name because Jesus first loved us. And I'm going to tell you, we lift a lot of people, and I'll tell you how we do it. Preach the Bible. Preach the Word of God. Isn't anything I say, but is what God says. And when we preach these verses and we read these verses and we preach the Bible, the Holy Spirit takes them up and he custom makes them to people all over the world. Some of you live in the jungle. Some of you live in the mountains. Some of you live in the desert. Wherever you're at, the Holy Spirit knows just how to apply it to your heart. See, that's why I love to preach. Because the Holy Spirit uses it in hearts everywhere. Then here's Hamilton, Montana. I did say a prayer asking Jesus to come into my heart. Would enjoy learning more in layman's terms. Could you please send me those brochures you spoke of? A work in progress. You see that? A work in progress. That's beautiful because I'm 85 years old. I mean, 95 years old. I accepted the Lord when I was 10. For 85 years, I've been a work in progress, and then God isn't done yet. And he'll never get done till we meet him in glory. We'll never be perfect. We try for perfection. And that perfection is to be like Jesus. We try to be like Jesus, but we're not perfect till we get to heaven. And then, Buster, we're going to look like something. We're going to be just like Jesus. Here's one more. Roton, Texas. I said the sinner prayer with the pastor on TV. See, isn't that nice? Now, I give you these words, and here's somebody in Texas and prayed along with me. And you just ask the Lord, and he'll come into your heart. And some people don't know how to pray. They never prayed before in their life. And they think you have to have thee and thou and all the rest. I prayed with a man here not too long ago, and he hadn't prayed. I don't know if he ever prayed, but he prayed for Jesus to come into his heart. And then he didn't say amen. He said goodbye. Fine. That's fine. God's looking at the heart, see? And so he said the sinner's prayer. Please pray for me and my family. And of course, we'll send literature. Now, we'd love to hear from you. And so you could write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And so we'd love to hear from you. And just try to send us a note. Just make our day. But now here, we're going to talk about the ministry of prayer, and you're a part of it. If you've accepted Jesus, maybe you don't haven't never been to seminary, never been to Bible school, don't know a lot about the Bible, you can be a minister of prayer. Now, when you come to the Bible, there's different kinds of prayers. There's prayers of praise. You could do that. Prayers of adoration. You can do that. Prayers of thanksgiving. You can do that. Prayer of supplication, where you're asking for things. But the one prayer we want to talk about today is the prayer of intercession, when we pray for somebody else. And that is so important. And when we say intercessory prayer, we simply mean it comes from a Latin word, intercedo, and it means to go or to pass between. And so here I have a friend. I'm praying for him. I'm interceding for him. And so I'm the intermediary, and I talk to him. I pray for him. I talk to God. And then I'm the center man, the one that's praying for him, interceding. Now, you can do that. It's a ministry of prayer, and it's open to all Christians. Now, if you're not a Christian, then you have to be a Christian first. And you know how we've given that over and over. You just ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Tell him you're a sinner. Admit you're a sinner. And then to ask him, take away your sins. Because, boy, there can't be one speck of sin in heaven. Not one speck. And you've got it and I've got it because we got Adam's sin. So then you're mad at Adam. Well, don't blame Adam. If it wouldn't have been Adam, we'd have done the same thing. We've sinned a lot of times besides Adam's sin. We're all sinners, and we have to be born again. And that happens when Jesus comes into our hearts, the birth from above, and he takes and he saves us. So you have to do that. Now, after you do that, then you start praying. Now, you see this for intercessory prayer. For instance, when Peter is in prison, and King Herod is put him in prison, and he's going to put him to death the next day. And so the church gathers, a group of people gathers. They gather in the home of Mary, the mother of John, and they pray for his release. And lo and behold, it was a great thing. The angel came and Peter was taken out of prison and he was set free. That's a prayer of intercession. But remember this, my friends, God doesn't always answer with a yes. Because later on, Peter was in prison. They prayed for him and it didn't work this time. God let him die. He was a persecutor. He was martyred for Christ. So we let him out, and then he didn't. And so we intercede. So what do? We always pray, thy will be done. And we want Peter set free, but we want God's will to be done. And so when we intercede for people, there's one prayer when you don't have to say, thy will be done. And that is when you pray that the lost will come to Jesus, because we know that God's will is that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so we can just pray then and know that we're on target with that. And so in this wonderful Lord, I think the outstanding picture of intercessory prayer, though, is when Jesus prayed for Peter. And Jesus, he prayed all the time. He's on the mountaintop, and over we read, he prayed. Before he picked the disciples, he prayed all night. And Jesus, if he's the Son of God, he's the second person of the Holy Trinity in the flesh. If he needed to pray, surely you and I need to pray. And so he's praying. Now, he's praying for Peter, especially for Peter. And this is what Jesus says in Luke chapter 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that they may sift you as wheat. And then Jesus said to Peter, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art restored, strengthen thy brethren. So now look at this for a few minutes. The devil wants Simon. Well, Jesus wants Simon too. The devil wants your soul, and Jesus wants my soul. But the devil wants my soul too. He wants it, and the devil wants it. Well, the devil will never get it because I gave mine to Jesus. But you have to give it to Jesus. You have to make that sinner's prayer and call in the name of the Lord to be saved. And then the devil can never take your soul. But if you don't make that prayer, I'm going to tell you, Jesus told us, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of life, hath not the Son, hath not life. But what did he say? The wrath of God abideth on him. And St. Paul says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And so he wants Simon's soul. He says he wants him to sift him like wheat. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means the same thing that happened to Job. You remember the story of Job. The devil wants to test Job and destroy him. And now he wants to destroy Simon Peter. And he wants to test him for what? He wants to see if he's genuine. He wants to see if he's a hypocrite or not. He wants to see if he really has faith. So Satan wants to sift him. He wants to put Peter in the sieve. And he wants to separate the wheat from the chaff. And that's what they did. They put it all in the sift, and then they would shake that sift, and the wheat would fall down, and the chaff would blow away. And so that's what he's putting him. He's going to put it in the test. Remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? They both looked alike until the harvest. You couldn't tell them apart. But when the testing time came, then he could tell those who knew Jesus and who just pretended. Didn't know Jesus. In Psalm 1, verse 4, it says, the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. So if you're not genuine, you're just a pretender, the chaff, the testing, the sifting is going to take you away, and there won't be anything there. And so that's what happened. And so he wants to sift Peter. Now, I want to show you something, and don't forget this. Don't forget this if you forgot all of the rest of it. Well, accepting Jesus is the most important. But here's the big thing. The devil had to ask Jesus for permission to test and to sieve Peter. He couldn't do it until God gave him permission. 1,500 years earlier, the same thing happened with Job. He went to God and he wanted to test Job. And God said, all right, you can take all that he has, but you can't touch him. And then Satan says, when he took it all and he didn't fail God. And then God says, all right, you can put your hand on Job, but you can't take his life. And it ends up that Job is on the ash pile about to die. And he says, Job's wife says, why don't you curse God and die? You're going to die anyway. And Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He's the wheat and the chaff blows away. But Job is real. He's genuine. He's honest. And so I'm going to tell you something. You and I are going to go through some testing trials. The devil's going to want to put us to the test. And you can come out like gold, and you can be tried and tested and golded. We'll come out as gold and be beautiful, fine, beautiful gold. But the point is here, nothing comes into our life that Jesus doesn't allow. And so you may not understand life, but all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, and you just trust Jesus. And so the devil comes and he runs him through the sieve. And guess what? Peter stands. Peter's genuine. Peter is wheat. Oh, yeah, he sinned grievously, but listen. Say Simon's faith, Peter's faith didn't fail. Peter's love didn't fail. When Simon was denying the Lord Jesus with cursing and bitterness, he still had faith in him and he still loved him. Well, where did he fail then? What did fail then? Well, I'll tell you what failed with Peter. His hope failed. And when his hope failed, when a man's hope failed, his courage fails. And so he lost his courage and he lost his hope. But I'm going to tell you this. Peter was faithful. Peter was loyal. Peter loved Jesus. And that he was genuine. And the testing and the trials never fazed it at all. So Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath obtained you by asking that you might sift you as wheat, but I made supplication. And so he stands true. Jesus is saying, Satan wants to destroy you, Satan, but I'm interceding for you, and I'm going to you're going to fail me, Peter. You're going to fail terribly, but you're not going to fail me really, because in your heart you're genuine, and I love you, and you're not going to go down. You're not going to be lost. Your faith is going to stand. Your courage may waver. You may become afraid, but you still have that faith and that love. And when all the sifting is done, and the testing is done, and the denying is done, and the cursing is done, and the weeping is done, when it's all over, what does Jesus say? Listen, he says to Peter, Peter, go and strengthen my brethren. He's saying to Peter, Peter, I love you, and you are still my servant. And I can imagine that Peter said when he cursed and said he didn't know Jesus, he said, I blew it. Jesus will never look at me. He'll never have anything to do with me. Jesus loved him all the more, and he recommissioned him. And Peter went on to serve and serve until he died. Believe me, when I sin, if I repent of my sin, if I, like Peter, turn my back on my sins, if I forsake them, if I ask God to forgive me, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and he will forgive me and he'll take me and I can serve him and he'll use me to his honor and to his glory. Praise his name. Does that sound impossible to you? Does it sound like I sin against him? I deny him with cursing. I forsake him, and yet he forgives me when I repent and he takes me back. Do you say, well, I can't imagine such a thing. I can't swallow that. That's too big for me. You know why it's too big for you? Because you don't know the grace of God. That's why it's too big for you. Because if you knew the Lord Jesus Christ and this wonderful God in heaven, you would find that this grace is sufficient for thee. It says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And it is saying you don't know grace. And why don't you know grace? Because you're something else. You're counting on good works. You're counting on self-righteousness. You're counting on legalism. You're counting on spiritual pride. You're better than somebody else. You know what? You are a Pharisee and you don't even know it. That's what you are. And you got to throw away all of your works as filthy rags and come to Jesus, and that wonderful grace of God will take you and you will use you and help you. So today, right now, Jesus is interceding for you and he's interceding for me just as he did for Simon. And he will bless us and he will help us if we just stay close to him. And when we fail him, ask him to forgive us. And I got a letter from a man, he's having trouble with alcohol. And he says he tries and he falls back and he tries and he falls back. And then he accepted the Lord. He made that prayer, right, about how he accepted Jesus. I said, now you've got Jesus to help you with this alcohol. And he'll give you a strength that you never had. But if you fall back, you ask him to forgive you. And he'll forgive you. The grace of God, he'll forgive you. And then you get a going. And if you fall back again, you do it. And if you fall back 70 times 7, he'll forgive you every time and give you another chance. That's the grace of God. And you can't understand it because you're too legalistic. That's what you are. But if you're a poor old lost sinner like I am, or I was. I'm still a sinner, but I'm not lost. I'm a saved sinner now. It was the grace of God that saved me. And that wonderful grace reaches out to you. And that's what John writes when he writes to the in 1 John. He said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, he says, my little children, he's writing to his Christian brothers, his people that accepted Jesus. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. Try not to sin. Then Peter and then John says, but if any man sin, if you sin, you should say when you sin, see. If you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And here I am and I sin. And the devil says, see, look at him. Look at them. He's proud. He's selfish or he's something else. It's so long list. It's so long I don't have time to list them all. And then he'll say that to God. And Jesus Christ will say, now there's grace. You give him grace. Because his heart is right, he belongs to me. He's my child. And God intercedes, Jesus intercedes for us. Oh, I'm going to tell you, it's beautiful. In the book of Hebrews, it writes about the same thing. It says in Hebrews 7:25, it talks about how he intercedes for us in heaven. He says, wherefore he is able to save them, that is God, Jesus Christ. Wherefore Jesus Christ is able to save them to the uttermost, that's the uttermost of sin and the uttermost of time. Wherefore, Jesus is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's praying for me. God bless him. And for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. And listen to this, who needeth not daily, but as the old high priest to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. And he's saying, this dear Jesus, he's my advocate in heaven, and he's my high priest, and he's my lawyer up in heaven. And he's not like the old priest because one would die and another would come and another would die, another would come. He will never die. He died once on the cross. He will never die. And this wonderful Savior, the priest down on earth, they had to bring sacrifices all the time, all the time, all the time. And this wonderful Jesus, he never brings any sacrifice because he is the sacrifice. He's just died on the cross. And he's been that sacrifice and he paid for my sins, my past, my present, my future sins. Some people think that when you're saved, God saves you up to that point and from then on you're on probation. Oh no, it's for all of my sins are in the future when Jesus died. And that high priest, Jesus Christ, and oh, he intercedes for me. And when I fail, I says, oh, Satan, I know what you're doing. You're just running into Jesus. You're running into my high priest, and he's up at the throne of God, talking to God for me, and you can't touch me. I hope you know Jesus. If you don't, this is what you have to do. You have to admit that you're a sinner. Some won't do that. They're so high-priced. They're so high-minded and holy. They're so holy Joes. They don't amount to anything. Won't they have a shock? You just tell Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I'm sorry for my sins, and I'll turn from the best I can. And I ask you to come into my heart, and I'll serve you the best I can. You'll never be perfect, but he'll come into your heart. He's wanting to come. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And Jesus says in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, now you've heard it, you've heard it. He that heareth my word and believeth, so you got to believe, nobody can do it for you. Heareth, believeth, hath everlasting life, hath everlasting life. And then Jesus goes on and says, and shall not come into condemnation, shall not go into hell. And he goes farther and he says, you've passed from death to life. Now you pray, dear Jesus, just do that. And then you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, and we'll send you literature to help you. But while you write, and many of you, all of you, we need your help. If you think this service is something that God wants, that God is using, if you think it's something that ought to be there, then you ask God about that and say, dear God, should I help them? And you'll know if you should give or not. And then you say, well, Lord, how much should I give? And he'll tell you. And I may jolt you. I don't know what he'll tell you. But if he lays it on your heart, you better answer, because we're not underwritten by any organization or denomination or corporation. It's just God's people all over the world. And if you don't give, we're going to sign off. And so we just pray that you'll do that. Now we pray, and each week we pray for someone. And this week we're going to pray for the North Korea. And we're going to do that right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you. We can all be people with intercessory prayer. And we pray for our brothers and sisters in North Korea. Oh, dear Jesus, how they suffer. Many of them die. Many of them scattered about. They can't find the family. Some of the family's dead. Some of them gone. And just in, dear God, we pray that there your presence will be felt, and that they will know that there we are praying for them, and that we all over the world, the Christians are praying for them in North Korea. Help them to know that. And though, dear Lord, we also pray for those who are shut in, and those who are aged, and those young people, Lord, they don't know what decision to make in life, and they're just trying to decide. We pray for those that are caught up in some addiction, that they'll just draw on you and find strength and help. We pray for those, the Lord, that are making life decisions. Bless and guide and direct. Thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So we're just glad that we could be with you today. And we're just counting on all of you being people of intercessory prayer. And you pray for the Christian worship hour, because if God doesn't bless us, we're just wasting our time, aren't we? But we know we're not wasting our time, because we're getting out the Word of God. And God says, and all that Holy Spirit takes that Word of God, and he makes it that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing soul of spirit and soul, even joints and marrow of the bone. He just touches hearts. He encourages. He corrects. He blesses. He strengthens. He does. He helps them to know that they have everlasting life, and that you've promised never to leave them or forsake them. Thank you, dear Jesus, all of you. And we just pray it in Jesus' name. So we'll look for you next week, same time.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.